The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, be with you all. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day, you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated.
The first reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from far away, and your daughter shall be carried on their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That you may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor and crush the oppressed.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, for one generation to another.
Let him come down. Like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Shema offer gifts.
May all kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service.
For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed.
He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence, he redeems their lives, and precious is their blood in his sight.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard the commission of God's grace that was given me for you. And now the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become his fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace, that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through him in faith. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
A number of years ago, I was hosting a backyard barbecue for a group of friends, and one of my friends called and asked the question that is so common when you're going to visit somebody for a meal: "What can I bring?" And I said, "Don't worry, just bring your charming personality and a positive attitude." And he said, "It'd be easier just to bring a steak." You know, I don't think the kings called ahead and asked, "What can we bring?" If that had been the case, I think the gifts would have been a box of diapers, some baby blankets, maybe a big pan of lasagna. They didn't call ahead. They weren't too concerned about what can we bring. They were focused on that star. They were following. They were so intent on getting there and paying homage. They didn't think about what gifts they were taking. You know, our Christmas gift exchange has its roots in this Feast of Epiphany, when these kings, these wise men, these magi, arrive in Bethlehem and bring gifts to the child Jesus. But we don't really know too much about these wise men. This is the only place in all of Scripture that tells this story. So we don't have another story in the other Gospels that we can compare and say, this or that is true, or this is part of the legend, or this is the only place that we have the story, so this is all we have to go on. We don't know how many there were. We usually, legend has assumed three, because there are three gifts named, so we assume that there were three kings. And it, throughout the centuries, we've even given those kings names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. I worked in South Dakota in a Polish-German community, and there was the tradition that you were named for the saint on whose feast day you were born. So we had a Caspar, and his twin brother was Balthazar. And they didn't call him like Baldy or B or BJ or something. They called him Balthazar. And his last name was Grismer. I always thought that was a great name, Balthazar Grismer. But we don't really know anything more. I mean, that's just fable. That's just legend that's been built up over the generations in the church. And what else is built up in the legends and the stories as this is told year after year is some symbolic meaning to these three gifts that are mentioned, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first gift, gold. Gold in first century was not nearly as valuable as it is now. It was plentiful in the Middle East, and it was used more for jewelry and for ornamentation than it was for coins, because it really wasn't as valuable as for trading. Tons of it, literally tons of it, was used to decorate the temple in Jerusalem. The reason that gold was precious or valuable was purely in its beauty. So the first gift that is given to the child Jesus was a gift simply because of its beauty. The second gift, the frankincense, was valued because of its aroma. And one of its most common uses was that it was burned in the temple where the blood sacrifice had taken place, so that it was to cover the smell of the blood. It was to cover the bad smell. Also, whenever a crowd of folks would gather, folks who don't bathe very often, folks who live in a desert, hot climate, and then come together in a large group, you're going to want something to kind of cover that smell. I burned some incense in the church this morning. Did you smell it when you came in? Can you smell it a little bit? Yeah. Well, because we are the great washed society, we have we don't need to have incense burning in order to mask the other kinds of smells. The gift of frankincense would have been welcomed to a family living in cramped area, living with the animals. Also, think of the future of the blood sacrifice, you know, if we want to put a symbolic meaning on that. The third gift, myrrh, is like perfume, like an oil or a lotion, and it was used for preparing bodies for burial. Similar to frankincense in that it's an aroma that masks the other scents, the other smells that would be there. So the myrrh was used as for the preparing a body for burial. It was also used to mix with wine to drink as a medication, to like a numbing. And if you remember the story on Golgotha, Jesus is offered wine, that they put the sponge in the wine and mixture of myrrh and offered it to Jesus on the cross to dull his pain. And he refused that gift. So at the first, in a sense, we can say that Jesus' first gift was myrrh, and his final gift was myrrh as well. Very odd gifts for a baby, don't you think? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when we focus on the gifts themselves, we have to get very theological in order to get a purpose or a meaning. But I think there's something else in this story that you might have noticed, might not have noticed. It's right before the mention of the gifts. Matthew writes, "On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts." They opened their treasure chests. They gave to Jesus what they perceived was valuable. It didn't have to be gold and frankincense and myrrh. It could have been diamonds and silk. It could have been their maps, their charts that had brought them to Bethlehem. They were, in Matthew's words, overwhelmed with joy when they found the Messiah. They opened up their treasure chests and they offered their most valuable possessions. The gifts didn't say so much about Jesus as it said about those wise men. They were in awe, and they offered whatever they had. They were in the very presence of God, and they offered homage, which means respect, reverence. They opened their treasure chests and gave everything that they had. Now, rush forward in history to today. And here we are in the presence of God. And the question is only too obvious. What will we offer him? Some people might say that this would be a very good time for me to mention the fact that your 2009 offering envelopes are available in the parish hall. Please pick them up this morning. But this isn't a stewardship talk. I'm not talking about gold or dollars. I'm not talking about a financial contribution. It's about opening our treasure chests and offering to Jesus whatever it is that we have locked away there. There's a commercial on TV that always ends, "So what's in your wallet?" So I will ask the question, "So what's in your treasure chest? What's in your heart?" Money? Time? Pride? An old grudge? An unforgiven sin that you cling to? Your treasure chest might be locked by a selfish heart or a fearful heart. The wise men did more than just open up their treasure chests. They opened their hearts to Jesus and gave of themselves. Jesus didn't need gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What was a baby going to do with those things? Jesus doesn't need anything that you might offer. But what do our gifts say about our relationship to God? Our gifts, what we share, say more about us and our relationship to God than they do about the gifts themselves. We too come here to pay him homage. Our gifts say that we respect and honor God. Our gifts say that we worship. Our gifts say that we trust God with our hearts that we are willing to give of ourselves. They say that we believe in Jesus' promise, in that promise that he is our Savior, our Redeemer. A lot of people hung up their 2009 calendar with a lot of worry and fear in their hearts. What's the economy going to do? What's going to happen to my job, to my income, to my retirement money, and to my plans? For too many people, cutting back and scaling down are not options, are not just good New Year's resolutions, but an absolute fiscal necessity. There is no other way. The mention of treasure chests might sound like a cruel joke to people who don't have any money in the bank and hear the wolf at the door. So what are we, as a Christian community, called to do about this? Today we celebrate Epiphany, and we hear of the blessings and the honor that the wise men paid in homage to the Messiah, and they opened their treasure chests. Today we think about what we have in our treasure chests and how we can share that with our brothers and sisters. How can we share what we have? I saw a news report, maybe you saw this on the news as well. It was an article about the return of the barter system. And the interviewer was talking to a couple who had bartered the installation of their hardwood floor for a vintage motorcycle that they had. No money exchanged. Each side, each party, had something that the other wanted. So they bartered and traded. There was another couple parties interviewed. The man traded piano lessons for lawn work. Something he could do and something he couldn't do. So he found somebody that wanted the other side. No money exchanged, but each person sharing what was in their treasure chest with the community in a way that they were able to fulfill needs for one another. Maybe we should develop something like that, a barter board, so that people can offer their treasures and receive treasures that you might need. We need to help one another in these tough times. When we think that our treasure chest is empty, we may panic or get depressed. Some people suffer that old illness called, what will people think if they really knew about us? But the good news of Jesus Christ steps in today, right between us and our human pride. The good news of Jesus Christ for us today is that we are not alone. We have been marked with the cross of Christ. We have been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's love for us and our response to that love, our opening our treasure chests with whatever there might be to share with one another, this is the good news of Epiphany. This is the good news that we do come with homage and joy to the feet of the infant. The wise men arrived at Bethlehem and were overwhelmed with joy. They opened their treasure chests and offered all they had. Can we do anything less? We give, trusting that God will care for us. We share, believing that good news that we are indeed brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We hear this word from the prophet this morning. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Happy Epiphany. Amen.